that we can see the results that Jesus saw, the works that he did that we would do, and greater works because he went up there beside the Father's right hand. And Father God, in the name of Jesus, right now, we bring every sickness and disease before you in the name of Jesus. Every onset of any disease, any onset of any cold, any onset of any symptom, any onset of anything that is attacking your people in this place that are standing in faith now, and in the name of Jesus, we bind that thing, we rebuke it in the name of Jesus. We nullify its life, we nullify its existence. We say that it is in a situation of trespass in the body of a child of God, has no right to be there. We're commanded to go in the name of Jesus. By faith, we place the blood over the dwelling place of God there, and that that person and that child and those people that are is standing in faith now would receive the protection, the healing, and the covering of the blood of the Lamb in healing now in the name of Jesus. Amen. Glory to God. Glory to God. Well, the children are outnumbered today. Well done, adults. Let me cheer you on. Last week when the kids left and there was a mass exodus of children, we sat there, is there any adults left? You know, sort of. But praise God, and they're going upstairs now. There's a new couple of kids there, Peter and David. Make them welcome. And their mum, Tammy, who's come over from Kurrenjang, glory to God. And well, we get a chance to say to everybody, but welcome to you all, and praise God for this wonderful, awesome, and exciting day. Amen. It's a day that God has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. The last couple of weeks, we've looked at how Paul functioned and his testimony in the first chapter of Galatians is really amazes me. Galatians 1, 11 to 24. And he talks about his conversion and how he spent time away getting to know God and in intimacy with God. When it pleased God, he said, to reveal his son, not to me, in me. Yeah. That's a lot of difference there. There's a lot of difference there. A lot of people have the son revealed to them, and that's like saying, oh, this is an iPad, you know, and you go, oh, yeah, that's an iPad. I've revealed my iPad to you. But you don't own that iPad. I own that iPad. But if you reveal Jesus to people and tell them about Jesus, that's fine. But there's got to come a transition where the Son is revealed in them. Glory to God. And then at the end of that, in the last verse that we read of 24, it says, in verse 23, that the people in Judea knew nothing of what Paul was doing and what was going on, but only they kept hearing, he who once persecuted us is now preaching the faith which he once destroyed. And they were glorifying God because of me. Glorifying God because of me. I would love to be able to say that today, that people were glorifying God because of me. Really? Occasionally, maybe? People have had an encounter with God. But Paul was a constant encounter of God wherever he went. Didn't matter where he went, people had to encounter God through him because he was not holding back. And I'm wondering where that got lost in the church over the centuries. And today, I believe God is restoring all things. And the Bible says, it even says of Jesus, whom the heavens must receive until the restitution of all things. And we're being restituted fast, believe me. It's a quick work. It's happening today, amen? Glory to God. And so I see from the scriptures in Romans, especially where it says Romans 8, 18 and 19, I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation, and this is creation itself, has a groaning and an earnest and a positive expectation awaiting the manifestation of the sons of God. Awaiting that. Because this creation is in a fallen state. Now, I know there's an ultimate outworking of that. I know that when Christ comes back and there's a new heaven and a new earth, ultimately, sure, there's a fulfillment of that in its ultimate degree. But today and here and now, this creation is groaning and travailing in pain, awaiting the manifestation, the outworking. The keys of the kingdom, Kerry, come on. I thought she was going to take over there before. And the kingdom of God is within you. I'd never seen it like that before. Your kingdom come, Lord, and we're waiting for us. Like they did at Jesus' time. They were waiting for some conqueror to come in with armies on horses and take over the land and give it back to Israel. And they had this concept of some big war hero coming in. And that happened over and over and over again. The problem was they got overthrown and overthrown and overthrown. This is a no overthrown situation. Amen? And our concept have been, your kingdom come. It's not going to fall from heaven and be all of a sudden a big, massive. No. I give to you. Wow, okay. Oh, I've got to research that a little more. The keys. I give to you. The kingdom of God is within you. Let it out. Let it out. The manifested sons of God. It's shown. Manifestation is not a mystical appearance. Like, you know, you go to a magic show and, you know, they do all these illusions and mirrors and smoke and mirrors and things. And they, you know, they have a hold a sheet over something. They pull the sheet away and all of a sudden there's a rabbit or, you know, something else has happened or somebody's floating in the air, whatever happens. It's not that type of mystical manifestation. It is a reality of the life of God being released in a tangible and visible and with evidence there for people to know that there's a difference. I like what Kerry did when she challenged somebody. Where's God in that? How many times do people say things to us and we think, oh boy, you know? We need to turn around and say, but God. But God. But God. Where's God in that? Where's God in that? You know, it's just become quite, I don't know, like conceptual rather than reality. In Isaiah 60, the verse is there. I rise and shine for your light has come. So it's not, God, come on, pour your light on us. No, 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 no. Arise. It means get up. Get off your butts. Arise, shine, flick the lights on, hit the switch, make it go. For your light has come. You are a city set on a hill. A city set on a hill doesn't go to sleep in a valley, amen? And I think that's what's happened. There will be peace in the valley. And then we've got all these concepts. No, I'm not in a valley. I'm on a hilltop, amen? Glory to God. I'm there where God wants me to be. And if I don't switch the light on, arise and shine, God's not going to come along and say, I think you need some light today, click. He tells me to put it on. I need to reveal the life of God in me, amen? And that's where we need to go. The world is groaning and travailing. It's my responsibility to arise and shine. It's my life that people need to see Christ in and through. And as Paul said, and they glorified God because of me. Notice he didn't say because Christ was so good and showed himself through me. No. He had a life that was so and passion for God, he could say they glorified God because of me. That convicted me to the core. That I looked at that, I went, God, how could he say that? Because he lived it. Why can't I say it? Emma, lovely to see you. We were just praying for you, the power of God in your home in the name of Jesus and the blood on the lintels, doorpost, and all the dwelling place of God there. It's all good. Praise the name of the Lord. It's so amazing. If I'm going to have that responsibility to allow God's life coming out of me, how how and when and where and why and what is my responsibility going to look like? How do I outwork that in and through what God has called me to be? And you know, it's rather interesting. We've made doctrines and concepts out of simple principles in the scripture. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 5 and 11, I think it is. There's a part there that says we are predestined according to His purpose. His purpose. His purpose. And you know, predestination is a doctrine that has been brought into the church about whether you're going to go to heaven or hell. That is the greatest lot of codswallop that I have ever heard, because no predestination scripture mentions going anywhere one way or the other. It talks about us, we've been predestined to be sons of God, yes. Predestined to be called to His purpose, predestined. The day you come to Christ and give your life to Him, you have a predestination on your life to be like Him. Yes. Nothing else. He doesn't turn around and say, oh, Ken's going to heaven, so-and-so's going to... No. That's not predestination, that's... No, I don't want to say it. It's nonsense. And we need to recognize that we have a predestined calling to be like Him, according to His purpose. Not my purpose. We have a wishy-washy preaching today that says God's got a purpose for your life. Come and give your life to Jesus. He's got a destiny all lined up for you. And everybody looks at it in the natural and says, oh, I'm going to be famous. Gee, I'm going to be on the stage at Hillsong one day. Or I'm going to be here or there one day. I'm going to, you know, oh, wow, God's got a destiny for me. And you know, so many disillusioned people walk away from the kingdom because that quote promised destiny doesn't come into being. Because it's a fairy story. The real story is if you have a destiny in God, predestined according to His purpose, it's to be a child of God and to manifest your sonship. That's the destiny God has for His church. Amen? That's not my purpose and it's not my destiny. And the minute people have that in their brains, God's purposes get shut out. Sad. Sad. It's nothing material or physical. Christ in you. Christ in you is the hope of glory. Whoa. Okay. Arise and shine. A glory is the manifested presence of God. Christ in you is God's entrusted hope. He's placed in you and I to let His glory be revealed in the planet. What? God trusted me with His glory to be seen? Did He? That's what it says. It's Christ in us. And Christ is not just the person of. The word Christ in its entire meaning simply is the anointed one and His anointing. And His anointing. That's why Paul could say they glorified because of me, because the anointed one and His anointing was active and powerful. Whoa. Whoa. We're challenging you today to say, God, where do I need to go to be who You want me to be? And what does my life need to do and change in? And how does it need to be changed for me to be able to arise and shine? For my light is come and the glory of the Lord is risen, seen, manifested. Now, you're not going to walk around like a glowing glowworm. Ooh. We're not going to have some sort of mystical era about us. That's not going to happen. But it will be like Kerry who meets somebody and challenges them when they start talking stuff. And says, where's God in that? Where's faith in that? Where's the word of God in that? Why are you so negative? Why have you got everything in the down and downs when we should be living in the up and ups? We need to challenge people on that. We need to be able to stand in faith and in the Word of God. And every time somebody's got a sad story, I've got a glad story. Come on. Come on. We need to turn the tables for the kingdom of God to be seen. Verse 28 says this, and we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God and who are called according to His purpose. Well, for those whom he foreknew, he also predestined. Is this other word to go to heaven or hell? No. Cancel that thing out in the name of Jesus. Get rid of it. It's a lie from the pit of hell. All right? Predestined to become conformed to the image of his son. Doctrine of predestination is so simple. Confirmation to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, it's so good. And that is where God's destiny and purpose is for you and I to function, flow, and be for his purposes. Conformed to the image of his son. Christ is not in us, so we can have our lovely Christianity. I'm going to heaven one day, you know. When I get to heaven, going to walk with Jesus. You know the old hymn? That is the stupidest song ever sung. When I get to heaven, going to see his face. You know, he told us to walk with him here and now. He told us to seek his face now. And yet we've got this crazy concept. When I get to heaven, when you get to heaven, you won't have a chance. Because you've got to put it into practice here to know what to do there. You with me? Start practicing. We became predestined to become conformed to the image of his son so that he would be the firstborn, notice, among many like-minded, if you put it into its proper context, among many brethren. So everyone who came into Christ would be a replication of the one who was the firstborn. And there would be many, 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 many that would be like him. And somewhere along the line, we've fallen into the snare of the enemy who has turned Christianity into religion. And it's become a format instead of a way of life. And those he predestined, again, he also called. Those he called, he justified. And those he justified, he glorified. Arise and shine. We've got no excuse not to walk in the glorified, manifested presence of the Son of God and be able to share his life at every available opportunity. How many times have we all, guilty, 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 and if you don't put your hand up for this one, we'll pray for you afterwards because no liar shall enter the kingdom of heaven. But the whole thing is we've seen opportunities to talk to somebody. Why didn't I say something? Why wasn't I quick enough then? Why was I too frightened? Why was I embarrassed? Why was I scared? And we regret that later on. And do you know something? That is an opportunity you never have again. You ever heard of the words missed opportunity? They don't come back. That's why it's important to grab them with both hands when they're there. And in the name of Jesus, come on, take hold of it and take your right and your God-given life. You don't have to be a, listen here. It's faith works by love. If we love people, we'll take every opportunity to share the love of God with them. And that's the life and the light of God shining in and through us. You know, I had someone the other day who told me that he was thinking of doing himself in. I was on the phone to a guy in Queensland I've known for several years. And he's telling me how things were just so bad, lost his job, won't get jabbed, won't this, doesn't want to, went for a job, couldn't take it because of the corruption in the building, the company that he was going into. I won't go into that now. And he said, it's just not worth living anymore. I'm really thinking of just ending it all. I said, Corey, you're too valuable. You're on this planet for a purpose. Now, this guy doesn't know God, but he knows I know him. And he knows the story of God in my life because I've given it to him a dozen times. And I said, mate, you've got to see yourself the way God sees you and the way I see you. You are valuable. There's value in your life. You can't go and do something crazy like that because the value in your life has not yet been fully revealed and seen. sent me a text about an hour later. He said, "Oh, no one's ever spoken to me like that. Thank you for that. I got a completely different perspective on everything." I didn't even mention God. I just put value into it. And love. Now I've got a chance to keep talking to him, and I have since several times. But oh man, had I not been there and then, he wouldn't even be alive today. How much have we got of God to impart to others just in a word of encouragement? Wow. Come on. We've been justified and glorified, the Bible tells us. Wow. We've been positioned in God for a manifested purpose. Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 to 12 says this. Oh, Lord God, come on. "For this reason also, since the day we heard of it," he's writing to the Colossian church there, "we have not ceased to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will, with all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that you will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, predestined to be conformed to his image," amen, "to please him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God." This is part and parcel of the keys of the kingdom outworking and outflowing of our lives. Come on. It's so good. "Strengthened with all power according to his glorious might for the attaining of all steadfastness and patience joyously." Some people don't like being steadfast and patient with too much joy. We have got to take all of those things joyfully. Joyfully. Get them into practice, amen. "Giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in darkness." Now, in light. In light. Where's the light? Arise, shine. Click it on. Glory to God. I'm telling you, there's no way. You know, the Bible says of the Lord Jesus or of God, "For in him there is no darkness nor variableness of turning." Doesn't matter which way he faces, ain't no shadow. We have got a shadow because the light's physical, but God is light. Doesn't matter which way he goes, there is no shadow, there is no darkness, there is nothing. The light that he has is reflected everywhere. That's the light he's put in us. Amen? There's no dark spots. Colossians 2, 6 and 7. "Therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so in total conformity, in likeness and in mannerisms, walk in him." Wow. Whew. "Being fully and firmly rooted and now built up in him and established in your faith, just as you were instructed and overflowing with gratitude." Can't help but glorify God when you've got gratitude, amen? Can't help but be happy in him. Can't help but be full of his joy. Oh, boy, I'm rushing through this. Someone turn that clock back about half an hour, please. Oh, man, our mode of operation and function is in no other name but the name of Jesus. That name is not the end of a prayer. It is the empowerment and the authority we have in our life. We function in his name constantly with full confidence and assurance in that name. He said, "In my name, you will cast out devils." Not you can try. Not maybe they'll go. No, 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 no. You will. You see a demon? Scatter it. The devil comes for you one way, he will flee seven ways. Amen? Or the enemy. You know, resist the devil and he will have a go at you. No, he will flee from you. If he's having a go, you ain't got your authority at the ebb it should be at. Satan, get out in the name of Jesus. Gone. There is no way he should be hanging around giving us a hard time. You know, people have said to me over the years, "Oh, I've had the devil on my back all week." What are you doing there? It's supposed to be under your feet. What'd you let him up there for, you clown? Yeah. That's true. Oh, the devil's giving me a hard time. Well, give him a harder one. Use the name of Jesus. My Lord. We have conceptual Christianity, not reality Christianity. And the reality Christianity walks in power and authority because Jesus said, in my name you shall. Not you might. Not you'll have a go. You shall. Phew. He also said, you will lay hands on the sick and they might get better. And you don't do it if you're not sure because maybe that won't happen. And no, he didn't say that. You shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. But we don't lay hands on the sick because we're too chicken to see something may not happen. And that doubt gives the devil a foothold in to keep the sickness there. When I lay hands on the sick, I expect results. Because the name of Jesus is above every other name. COVID is a name. Cancer is a name. Backache is a pain, is a name. A pain and of a name. A name of a pain. Whatever. There needs to be the authority of the name of Jesus where you expect to see these things bow their knee because the name of Jesus is above every other name. Every other name. And if we take what Jesus said, in my name you shall, we need to start doing some shalling. Not shelling, shalling. I shall lay hands on the sick. I shall cast out devils. I shall speak in the name of Jesus and I shall see results. Come on. Come on. This is the full confidence that we have in him. That if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know he hears us, we have the petitions we desire of him. We have them. I tell you what, we need to get this going. We need to understand fully the use, the authority, the power, and the results we expect in the name of Jesus. And not doubt them, not chicken away, not back off, but straight away there and then in the name of Jesus, I take authority over this situation and I release the power of God into that situation. Now, I learned a lot from Curry Blake when he was here. And I talked to him a lot out of the meeting scenario as well. But he was studying John G. Lake's methods, and John G. Lake, who was in Africa when the Blackwater Plague was killing people everywhere, and the medical teams then arrived from overseas to help, and they saw John G. Lake helping with dead bodies and carrying them out and burying people with foam frothing at the mouth that was contagious and absolutely deadly to anyone who touched it. And they're going, what are you doing? You've got no protection. You shouldn't be handling these people. You shouldn't be this. You shouldn't be that. He said, they need help. And he said, in the name of Jesus, I'm here to give them help. And they said, you probably have the plague and die yourself. And he said, put some of it on my hand. And they did. They got it under a microscope. Is it live? Is it contagious? Yes, it is. Put it on my hand. Now watch it. And it just withered and died. He knew his rights in God. He knew his power in God. Curry Blake realized that the life of God is in us. Lord Jesus, heal this person. Now that's a religious prayer. I release the life of God into this person in the name of Jesus. That life that is within me, which is Christ in me, the hope of glory, I release now into this situation and command results. Yeah, come on. Come on. It's us. Christ in us is the hope of glory. Oh, God, come and do it, please. Huh? We pray prayers God can't answer because we're not praying according to his will. We're not praying according to his word. Guilty. Wish I'd learnt this stuff 40 years ago, I'm telling you. God is amazing and this is where he wants for his church in this way. And when we're seeking his ways, are we seeking his ways or are we seeking just his hand and his acts? It's not a hope so or a wish list. There's no uncertainty. It's receiving by faith and not by sight as well. Now, I don't see the result there and then. I don't get into it didn't happen. You know, I've seen people go to healing meetings and get prayed for. And they come out and say, I didn't get my healing tonight. What? You just cancelled it out? Sometimes it says they shall recover, not you will get a miracle. And you walk out and say, I didn't get it tonight. Well, you just shut off the life of God from bringing the recovery into process. Dumbness personified. truly, I'm telling you, the church has got a lot to live up to and answer to. And some of this stuff is just balderdash because we've been taught that if we don't get it now, we didn't get it. Oh, come on. I've been prayed for and I've just said, well, I don't feel any different now. I've still got the same pain, but I'm going home in the name of Jesus and I know the recovery is in place. Guess what? I go to bed that night and I wake up the next day, another skerrick of a sign. Maybe it's taken 2 days. Maybe it's taken a week. But I do not alter my confession that I was prayed for and was healed in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. And I will not let my stupid mouth get in the way. I will not let negative thinking get in the way. I cast down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. And I bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ and whose name I was prayed for in, because I know that is going to work. And I don't want to cancel it out because of my dumb mouth. I say enough dumb things without putting that into it as well. We've really got to learn to control our mouth, because our mouth, you know, is 99% of the problem. We've got to trust God so much more. If we're believing God and we're in a situation where we're believing and commanding in the name of Jesus, as far as I'm concerned, it's signed, sealed, done and delivered. Amen. Totally. Totally. You want to cancel it out? That's your problem. But I'm releasing it so that it's signed, sealed, done and delivered. And if you're silly enough to say, oh, I don't feel any different now, I didn't get it, well then don't cancel out the power of God. That is silly. Because the name of Jesus is above every other name. And if we're going to use it, let's believe it, receive it and walk in it. Fully. That's the way Jesus intended. This is faith in real operation according to the scripture. Love and compassion don't work by simply that command either. Faith works by love. You've got to have love for the people you're praying for. It's got to have a love transmission. It's like having a bullet without a gun. You can't shoot the bullet without the gun. So you've got to have a gun of love to be able to shoot the authority of the name of Jesus. Jesus was moved with compassion. And when he was moved with compassion, he healed them. He spoke to the multitudes. Compassion can only happen through love. So don't go, there's a lot of people are commanding and they're quoting faith and da 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 da, but they don't have love. They're doing it all out of a physical thing. Well, this is a way to do it. No, they're throwing bullets around, but they're not shooting them because they've got no gun of love to fire them with. We've got to understand that. Let's get a passion for the lost. Let's get a passion for the sick. Let's get a heart that Jesus had for those that were down and out. And he healed them all. Yes. And that's the way God wants us to function and operate. And I've been praying, God, forgive me for the times I haven't loved the way I should and loved people the way I ought. And I tell you what, he's turned me into a sook. Because I'm starting to get such an intense passion that I've never had. I'm not a sook. I'm a strong person in Christ. But the whole thing is I've got this intense internal heart of love now that I just didn't function in. And I walked in faith. I was word of faith. You know, people would say something to me, well, the word says, and I'd give them a machine gun of scriptures and say, if you're not standing on that, you're not doing it right. God, oh, talk about arrogance. But that's what I learned, that's what I was taught, and that's what I thought was the way to do it. And then I found out God didn't work that way. I studied Jesus. What a difference. What a difference. It's by love. And you know, that gives us a positioning to do all of the things we've been predestined for, to be conformed to his image. Yeah, amen? Not conformed to my image. A lot of preachers are conformed to their own image. A lot of preachers have got their status and their thing. I listened to one last night. I cried. I honestly cried. There was no life in that. He said the first thing I did was tell my wife to go out of the room and turn the music up loud so she couldn't hear me while I was practicing my sermon. You know, when this is getting practiced on you. So I'm sorry if it's not finessed or... I want the anointing of God. I don't want to sit there and parrot off something that I've rehearsed. This isn't even coming out the way I thought of it, but it's good. And I'm getting a lot out of this myself, and I believe God's giving you a lot out of it as well. But the way Jesus intended to work in faith was according to the scriptures, and having love working. And we're positioned in a power to be conformed with a power and authority to be conformed to his image and to receive all that he has for us. Believing it is fully God's will, intent, and purpose for you and I to function in kingdom life to the max. A lot of Christians are, the kingdom's pretty good, isn't it? And they got a toe in the kingdom. Like going down the beach, that's nice water, isn't it? Yeah, wow. No, he said, get in there, walk in it, ankle deep, knee deep, thigh deep, and then rivers to swim in. Get totally immersed in it, not just tippy-toeing around. And I think Christians over the years have tippy-toed around kingdom life and not got involved in the fullness of it. And that's probably the fault of the church in a lot of instances, because we've had this system where there's a gap between the pulpit, and I said that with an emphasis on the pit, and the pews. And so everyone in the pews thinks that the only authority is in the pulpit. And it's not that way at all. And they leave everything to the preacher. Instead of you go lay hands on the sick, you cast out devils. Don't come running to me and say, Ken, we need someone to pray for somebody. We'll do it. And then come and let me rejoice with you in the results. Get active in the kingdom in the name of Jesus. Wow. The reason we need to function fully in the life of kingdom to the max is that we are filled with the fullness of God. Did you know the Bible said that? That you might be filled with the fullness of God. Who? The preachers? The apostles? The prophets? The evangelists? No. The church. The church. Filled with the fullness of God. Then if you have ever got a problem with something and you go and lay hands and pray, you know that the fullness of God in you can be imparted, because the life in you is there to impart to others. It's fully functional in and through the manifested sons of God, manifesting the life of God in action, in and through the name of Jesus. And that's exactly in receiving and imparting through the name of Jesus. We receive by faith, we impart by faith, because the fullness of God is flowing constantly. It's not sitting there stagnant in a pool somewhere. It is a refreshing. His mercies are new every morning. Had you put them on this morning? Have you thanked him for his mercies when you get up in the morning? Start practicing that. I'll tell you what, when God showed me that a while back, what a difference it's made. Thank you, Lord, your mercies are new again today. I want to receive what mercies you have for me. I want what your life has got for me. And I thank you for it, Lord, in the name of Jesus. I don't want to walk in yesterday's mercies. I want to walk in today's mercies. Now, they might be the same ones, but I'll tell you what, God's still got to refresh them a little bit. They've got to come fresh and new. And there are new ones, and there's more mercies than you and I can even poke a stick at, and we haven't touched them by any means, way, shape, or form. We've had a taste to see what the Lord is good. Taste and see. Have another taste. There's a banquet in the kingdom. Have a little taste. Oh, it's another day. Have another taste. Yeah, why not? Glory to God. They're new every morning, filling us with the fullness of God. It is your Father's good pleasure to give you what? The kingdom. Kerry didn't even know nothing about what. In fact, I didn't even know what I was sharing. So, but I had some notes there, But she brought out the kingdom. We have been given the keys. Function in them. Unlock some doors. Unlock some problems. Unlock some situations. Unlock the things that the devil's locked up in people's lives. He gave us those keys. And it's our Father's good pleasure to give us the kingdom. Why? To function in it, to operate in it. It's in us. It's in us. It's in us. Jesus is the author and the finisher of our faith. He wrote the rules, and he brings it into perfection and trains us in the life of it. Amen? So good. Oh, I'm rushing. But this is going to be a banquet, and you're going to have to digest it, maybe re-listen to it like I'm going to. Plan with purpose includes a fulfillment. When something is planned with a purpose, there has to be a fulfillment. You don't plan something. Well, sometimes we do, don't we? I've always planned to do this and planned to do something, and I'm still, the fulfillment's a long way off yet. But I believe in God, we've got to start seeing fulfillment a lot quicker. We've got to start seeing completion. We've got to start seeing outworking with maximum effective power and results in operation. Amen? We've really got to become more proactive in the kingdom of God. You know, there's a scripture that everyone thinks of at end times when Christ returns. And let me put this as nice as I can. But it says, "And we which are alive and remain shall be caught up to meet the Lord in the air." Now that is fine, and there is an end time amount of people who will be alive and remain and caught up to meet the Lord in the air. But if you take that in its context and you're having a look there, we who are alive and remain alive. Now I know a lot of Christians that have had the life of God imparted into them, had a great salvation. Somewhere down the track, they just become conformed to the church, not conformed to the image of Christ. They are alive and they haven't remained alive. That is sad. In fact, it's a tragic sadness, because those who are alive and are not alive and alive have to become living, vibrant, fully functional people that are alive, remaining alive. Those that are alive and remain purposed shall remain alive and purposed. You've got to put some more into that. Those who are alive and remain alive, in what area? Those who are alive and faithful remain alive and faithful. Those who are alive and set themselves to those faithful tasks are committed to the tasks they undertake. We've got to get that sort of mentality into Christians. I've seen so much of that in places where people have said, "Oh, I would love to be involved. What can I do? Da, da, da." And you get them doing something. 3 months later, "Oh, I really don't think that's me anymore." No faithfulness. I've done jobs that I've not really enjoyed doing in the church over the years, but I have never once quit. I've done it until they've said, "Oh, we've got something else for you, because I've got someone to do that job again." But not today. "Oh, no, it doesn't suit me." Yeah. Paula White, preacher from America, you know, she went to her pastor as a young woman and she said, "I really feel God's called me to work in the church and to develop a ministry." And he said, "Good, start here." And he gave her a broom. She swept that church faithfully, week in, week out, week in, week out, until one day God anointed her and empowered her to do more. But she did not give up the broom. She didn't say, I'm above the broom. How many of us would have that humility to take on a menial task until God said, "You're faithful in, he that is faithful in little shall be made faithful over much"? Yeah, come on, or shall be given much. We need to be faithful. We need to be alive and positioned for power to work in and through us, to be predestined to be conformed to his image. Those who are alive and predestined to be conformed to his image have to walk in that, or they don't stay alive and predestined and conformed to his image, because they get caught up in everything else. There are a lot of people who are alive and wise in some things and then become alive and, well, not necessarily that alive, but for some reason their wisdom turns into tradition, concept, doneness, whatever you want to call it. We need to remain alive. Alive and remain the way God has called us to remain in that life that He has poured into us. And we've got to guard that with all diligence. We've got to guard that fully. And we've got to guard the life of God in us, because it is the most precious and valuable part of God's kingdom that we will ever, ever have on this planet. And if we let it wane, and if we become lethargic in it, and if we just get traditional with everything and just say, well, I go to this church. Yeah, probably the devil probably goes to that church too. Get yourself alive where the devil can't get in. In the name of Jesus, amen. We need to be alive and endued with power and remain endued with power. You know, imagine if they'd got, go tarry in Jerusalem until you get goosebumps. Jesus didn't say that. Go tarry in Jerusalem until you get a good feeling. How long do goosebumps and good feelings last? Not very long. Not very long. He said, go tarry in Jerusalem until you are endued with power. Come alive with that endowment of power and remain endued with power. Whoa. You know, I've seen people filled with the Spirit having the most amazing time, and they talk in tongues and they roll around the floor and glory to God. And 6 months later, you wonder if they actually got filled with the Spirit. Why? They haven't kept generating the life of God in them. And we need to remain endued with power. Amen? Imagine if the church had got endued with power. Oh, what a wonderful service, Peter. Good message. Yeah, it was great, John. Yeah, it was really, yeah, it was awesome. You know, well, let's go. They went out fully endued with power and boldness, and they changed the world, and they had people saved left, right, and center. They didn't just go home and waffle on about what a great meeting that was. Great sermon, Pastor. Good, go and practice it. Huh? It's almost like you've said something foreign to them. No, it's just not the way it is. We need to be alive and remain alive in whatever it is. What was Jesus declaring? That the kingdom of God has come to you. And he said, seek first the kingdom. It was all about us being committed to him in such a way that allowed the life of God to permeate us, fill us, flow through us, manifest in us, be positioned in a place where we are predestined to be conformed to the image of his dear son. And as Paul said, you know, we pray for the church that you might be filled with the fullness of God. Not born again and I'm going to go to heaven one day. That's just a fairy story that's been put in there because you're in a safety zone now. No, you're not in a safety zone if you've been born again. You're in a danger zone. You're in a battle. You're in a war. You're in an army. And if you're not armed to be in that army, look out, you'll get run over. There needs to be an endowment with power that remains endued with power in the name of Jesus. Wow. And after they were endued with power, they had to be positioned to remain in that power. The functioning, the authority of that power, and the unchallenged results they saw were expected by them. They got into the temple in the name of Jesus Christ. Rise up and walk. Not silver and gold have I none. Notice what they said. But such as God's got for you, you can receive today. No. Such as I have. Such as I have, I give thee. We don't have a such as I have them mentality in the church at the moment. But that's what being positioned and to be conformed to the image of Christ is. He didn't turn around and say to the Ray Jairus' daughter, Father, let your life come back into this dead body. No. He just says, Tabitha, get up, arise, get up. And I believe that's the endowment with power that we need to operate and function. We need to be positioned in love, in sensitivity, in discernment, in hearing God's voice, in humility, in all of the fruit of the Spirit. Then we can operate in boldness, because they all stem from that. If you haven't got those in place and you operate in boldness, you become arrogant. You become obnoxious. We get all of the right fruits and everything in place, and then we operate in boldness, prepared
to impart the love of Christ. And these are all key to us getting positioned correctly in God to be conformed to the image of his dear Son, to allow the power and the authority and the releasing of the love of God and the kingdom of God into a hurting world. I got through it. Father God, there's a lot in this. Lord, I believe that in the name of Jesus, that you'll answer that phone. Father, that in the name of Jesus, that we will all, Lord God, take seriously the call of God on our lives. The predestination that you put upon your church, Lord God, to be conformed to the image of your Son. But Lord God, we repent and we apologize for the lethargy we've shown, for the religiousness that's come into your church, for the way we've just been so blasé about a lot of things, taken it for granted. Lord, I am praying today for an endowment of your power that remains. And that, Lord God, we position ourselves to receive from you the life that you have for us. And that we set ourselves apart to seek your face continually, Lord God. Lord God, to seek you intimately, to be in communion with you in such a way, Lord God, that we don't miss out on what you have for us daily. That we don't miss opportunities to minister into the lives of the men and women we encounter everywhere, Lord God. That we don't miss the opportunity to lay hands on the sick and see them recover. We don't miss the opportunity, Lord God, to cast out devils in the name of Jesus. We don't miss an opportunity to shine for your kingdom, to allow your light and your glory to permeate us and be seen through us. Not for our benefit, Lord, but for the benefit of your kingdom to be expanded and released into others' lives. God, I just ask for a spirit of humility and love to descend and come on all of us. Holy Spirit, please do your work in us all. Enhance the love of Christ in us. Enhance the compassion of God in us. Enhance the things that made Jesus be who he was on this planet to be able to minister into the lives of men and women everywhere. And I pray, Lord, that same fruit of humility in life would just flood your people now. In the name of Jesus, for us to function fully in that wonderful name, in that glorious name, having confidence in that name and believing readily that when we use that name, Jesus, we're releasing all of the resources of heaven into the situation we're praying for, and we thank you for it. Praise you for it, Lord, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Amen.